Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffan.net.
Lee and Herring on 1FM, coming to you live from the Royal Gala premiere of the new Hollywood blockbuster, Interview with a Vampire. A Lee and Herring special on the film everyone's talking about, with exclusive live interviews with all the stars. Live from Leicester Square, London.
Ah, I can't believe it, Stu. The Royal premiere, and we are invited, along with all the other big stars. I expect Paul Young will be here.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we'll see newsreader Edward Sturton doing an everyday thing, perhaps coming out of a toilet. Maybe he'll be eating a sausage roll as he does so. Who knows?
Who knows? I hope Arnold from Different Strokes turns up. That'd be great.
It would be brilliant, wouldn't it? You know, we've really made it a lot, we have, after all these years. Let's go in, right? And what you got to do, Rich, try and look cool and act as if this happens to you all the time, all right?
Doesn't it?
I know. You act right. Okay. And if you see any of the public, just look through them. They're scum. You're a god. They're scum.
Okay, I understand, right?
Right. And the most importantly of all, if you see Liz Hurley in that dress, right, try and you've got to try and stand next to her, all right?
Okay.
Excuse me, can I help you?
Yeah, we're here to see the film.
Let me see your tickets then, please.
No, you don't understand. We are two of the star celebrities for the film.
You need a ticket, all right? £8 over there.
No. Do you have any idea at all who we are?
No.
Well, look, check your list, right? I'm Stuart Lee.
And they call me Richard Herring.
Yep.
Who?
You must recognise us. I was in one episode of BBC Two's Loose Talk.
And I wrote for Up Your News on British Sky Broadcasting.
Yeah. We have to go into the film. Come on.
Well, like I said, you know, you can if you get a ticket. £8 over there.
Look, we're guests, right, for the premiere of Interview with a Vampire.
That was last week.
What?
Last week.
Tom Cruise rang us up at our house and told us it was tonight.
Oh, hello. No, we didn't.
It must have been Steve Wright getting us back for last week, doing one of his hilarious wind-up calls. Let's get out of here, come on.
Can't believe it, we've based the whole show on this as well. And we've come wearing skirts like Jonathan Ross and everything. Look at my bra.
You know, Rich, we are going to look like idiots when we get back to the studio.
Yeah, especially the way we swaggered off with those cigarettes in long holders eating after 8 mints.
Yeah, the mints of luxury.
Yeah, anyway, we have to get back to the studio before the vocal ends on this song. How long is that, Steve?
1 minute, 22 seconds, Rich.
1 minute, 22 seconds to get from Leicester Square to the BBC. I'm no cartographer, but that sounds impossible.
Well, Rich, I am a cartographer, and I reckon we'll make it if we run.
Okay, quick!
Craving the shake. Being before the heart learns to break. Finding the girl that loves to make love. Becoming the man, learning to live with the take and the give, making absolute little or no mistake. Remembering the girl that knew how to make love, in a settling point of pain. Milkshaker, milkshaker, I'm sitting here like the lonely one. I'd rather be with the only one.
Oh, God. Hello.
What are you doing back?
Shut up. The premiere was cancelled. It was raining.
Yeah. Well, we are back in the studio. We've got with us this week, we've got Ronnie Ancona. Hello, Ronnie.
Hello.
Kevin Smeldon is here.
Kevin Eldon.
Pizza's here.
Hello.
Hi, Peter. And we've also got a special celebrity secret guest who we can't reveal.
It's Annabelle Giles, isn't it?
That's right, it's Annabelle Giles.
That's good.
Didn't want to disappoint anyone, obviously,
with
it. We're listening to at the moment is Giant Sand. They're one of the best live bands in the world, and they're playing next week, so go and see them. That's called Milkshake Girl.
Thanks for for all your letters. We got a letter from James Smart. He said he told his science teacher one of our routines, and his science teacher replied that there was a difference between being witty and offensive.
That's right.
A lesson for us all there.
Shame he's not in charge of us, but never mind. We also we mentioned that we're running this gallery thing. We want you to send us stuff to this address, room 111, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A1AA.
And this is for our telly show.
Yeah, any confusing images. We're going to be making a sort of gallery like Vision On television. This week we had a couple of really good things. We had a collage of sweet wrappers from Ian Hunter, who lives in New Milton, and a brilliant sort of computer-generated image, it's a shame you can't see this, of David Attenborough, covered in animals, holding an owl in his hand, standing in front of a tree, out of which the branches of which are growing the heads of TV's Timothy Spall.
So any odd
Richard Christopher Beckett sent us that. So
any odd things you got, we'll try and put them on the telly. I'm afraid we can't return any of your pictures because at the end of the TV series we're going to screw them up and throw them in a big bin and set fire to them.
Yeah.
But we had some good suggestions. Tribute band Rob Keary suggested the American Australian Doors. Tribute band to a tribute man. And Paul Hitchcock thought about a tribute band from the Isle of Man for the Brotherhood of Man called the Isle of Man, which is quite good.
Something like that.
What's this week's competition?
Well, this week we got a phone in. You can ring in on 071-306-0222. What we want from you this week is, now we all hate impressionists, right?
Yeah.
Because we think impressionists are rubbish, right? But what we want you to do is the worst impression that you can do. Ring in with the worst impression you can do, but that impression must still be recognisable as the impression of the person that is an impression.
It's
of.
It's a kind of parody of impressionists we're asking you for.
That's right. So, for example, Rich, who was coming into your impressionist
Hey,
house?
Who's this coming in there? It's TV's Mr Grumpy, Victor Meldrew.
Oh, no.
Here he is. I don't believe it! That's Victor Meldrew there, thank you.
What about you, Kevin?
That's pretty bad.
Who's coming into your impressionist
house? Oh, no, it's comedy award-winning person Michael Barrymore. All right.
Oh, very good. Very good. Very bad.
Jonathan Ross. Yeah. Right. Hello, my name is Jonathan Woss, and I'm rubbish at saying the letter W.
Very bad.
What about you, Ronnie? Who's in your impressionist?
I've got Beth Jordash from Channel 4's Brookside.
Yes.
You need me, Dad's buried under the patio, and I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty bad. Have you got one, Stu?
I've got James Bond.
Right,
the name is Bond. James is James Bond.
That's rubbish. So remember, the worst impression that we get
James
is that we'll
Bond.
Win. The parody of crap impression. It's got to be good enough that Bobby Davro would do it, but bad enough that Bobby Davro would do it. Do you understand?
And,
so if you've got one, ring in on 071-306-0222.
Remember, it doesn't matter if it's a person who hasn't been, like, really on telly since before you were born. It doesn't matter.
I imagine Frank Spencer will be popular. Right, anyway, here coming up now, we have Sheryl Crow, who is unique in this pop world in having ears of different sizes.
That's true.
The only pop star with ears of different sizes. Perhaps she should get a false ear of some kind. And this is an excellent song called All I Wanna Do.
Hit it. Disco. It ain't no country club either. This is LA. All I wanna do is have a little fun before I die. There's a man next to me out of nowhere. Apropos of nothing, he says his name is William. I'm sure he's Bill, Billy, or Mac, or Buddy. And he's plain ugly to me. And I want
Herring, the modern day Dukes of Hazzard on 1FM.
I like a good beer buzz early in the morning, and Billy likes to peel the labels from his bottles of Bud. He shreds them on the bar, then he lights every match in an oversized pack, letting each one burn down to his thick fingers before blowing and cursing them out. He's watching the bottles of Bud as they spill on the floor.
Pete.
A single man from Balham. Have you got an impression?
Yeah, I can do late night television's Mariella Frostra.
Go on then.
Hello, I'm Mariella Frostra, and I saw a film, and it was good.
That's good. That's terrible, Pete. You really got the idea of that. Congratulations. Otherwise, the bar is ours. The day and the night and the car wash too. The mattress and the buds and the clean and dirty cars. The sun and the moon. But all I wanna do is have some fun. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. All I wanna do is have some fun. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. All I wanna do is have some fun. I got a feeling the party's just begun. All I wanna do is have some fun. I won't tell you that you're the only one. All I wanna do is have some fun. Until the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard. Until the sun comes up over Santa Monica Boulevard.
And big news in astrology this week. Apparently all recorded star signs are wrong. They'll be knocked out of sync by the discovery of a new star sign, Ophiuchus, which is a man holding a rod.
Nice! But we, Lee and Herring, have discovered a whole load of new star signs, haven't we, Stu?
Yeah.
Stu, you were born on April the 5th, weren't you?
I was.
You are now not an Aries, you're a Lenkmeme.
A what?
Lenkmeme. Lenkmeme's characteristics are selfishness, vanity and pretension.
Right,
hey,
yeah.
That is you. Your lucky wall covering is felt. Fellow Lenkmemes are actor Ben Walden and Arthur Fowler from EastEnders.
Oh, that's right. And during the show, we're going to be keeping you up to date with all those new star signs as they come in.
New star signs. If you're born between December the 2nd and 4th, you are a curmudgeon. The characteristics of those born under the sign of curmudgeon are generosity and embarrassment. Fellow curmudgeons include Alice Cooper and debt builder Fred West.
Great.
Yes, it's Interview with a Vampire week here on the Lee and Herring Show on 1FM this week. And with us in the studio, we've got the writer of the book the film Interview with a Vampire is based on. It's Anne Rice. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Hello.
Now,
how'd you feel about the film?
Well, I have to say, initially, I was very angry.
Yeah.
The book I wrote was completely different from the film.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, it wasn't even called Interview with a Vampire.
Really?
No, what's it called?
It was called Interview with an Old Man.
Mm.
And
it
was a transcript from the tape of my interviewing an old man from Devon.
Right. Devon.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And here's an extract from it.
Right.
So can you elaborate on what life was like for you in Plymouth in the 30s?
Yeah, well, I was coming down the hill and I up there and I fell against the edge and I got pecked by an owl on the lip.
Fascinating. Really?
You don't get owls in edges these days, not since the old king died.
Yeah.
I'm 90 years old now, not like I used to be in the old days. In the old days, I was 20. Yeah. They got all these electric food mixers now. What's wrong with a bloody stick?
Yeah, that's very, very different than the film I saw. So what, how did you feel about that initially?
Oh, well, like, you know, I just couldn't imagine Tom Cruise playing an old man.
Not that old man, no.
No, you know.
Somerset old man. I've seen Far and Away.
Yeah.
He's terrible at that.
But, you know, like, after I saw the film, I felt the changes were really good because there were vampires flying around, there was lots of blood, there was a lot of biting, and, you know, at the end of the day, it was much better than the old man who was basically very boring and talked tedious rubbish.
Right, and is your opinion anything to do with the fact that the film company have paid you a lot of money to say that?
No.
Okay,
good,
Anne
right.
Rice, thanks,
thanks Anne Rice. They're coming in. We've got our first phone call, bad impression. This is Bruce from Christchurch. Who do you do badly, Bruce?
I do Roland Rat Superstar.
Okay, let's let him come into the room then. Here he comes into the room. And hello, Roland.
Yeah, hello, Rat fans. Roland Rat Superstar here. I'm marvellous. I'm wonderful.
That's really
very good. Thanks, Bruce.
Great.
That was very, very bad. See you later. And Pete, how are you?
Hard to beat that one.
Well,
what have you got for us this week?
This week I'm doing special fantasy career corner.
Oh, yeah. What's that about?
What this is, if you're like me, right, and you've never had a job and never will. I mean, you know, I went for an interview once, but my bag of chips burst and some of them went in the lady's lap. So instead, I've like invented a load of ways of pretending you have a career and therefore some sort of point to your life.
Go on.
And
then.
With all these jobs, don't forget whenever you've done them to pay yourself by putting your dole check in an envelope with the word wages written on it, and then just take it out again and sort of be happy, sort of thing.
Good idea.
Anyway, there's loads of jobs you can do without applying for them or even leaving the house, like washing dishes, manning the phone, and dancing as well. That's an easy one to do at home. Of course, you might want a more exciting fantasy career, so why not invent a new job? For example, what I often do is go to Safeways with a pound coin and put it in one of those lock things that release the shopping trolleys, then hang around outside with your trolley waiting for someone else to arrive and rush up to them and you say, do you want my trolley? And then they give you a pound and you say, it saves bother, doesn't it? And you sort of both laugh.
That's a good idea. It's nice, isn't it?
Then you get another trolley and do that until about 5 o'clock. And then about 5 o'clock when you get home, you can count up all the pound coins. And you can imagine that's the sort of money you've earned, but it isn't really.
Fantastic.
Like, yeah. TV's Annabelle Giles. Have you got an impression? Bad impression?
Yes, I have. Ready?
Yeah. Who's that?
Jacques Cousteau.
Oh, good. I thought he was going to be a bit subdued to see about today's news. What's the record coming
well,
out?
This is a bloke, right? We've played stuff when before. We've played apocalyptic and fearful things from him. But this is a record that shows a very different side of Star Trek's Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy.
Middle of the earth in the land of Shire lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
Of course, Tolkien got the idea for The Hobbit from this song.
Yeah, he never gave Leonard Nimoy a penny either.
Ah, git.
Hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat and be left alone. But one day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the cave below to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's halls. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
If you listen to this tuba solo, Stu, this was written by the bloke who wrote the music for the original Sanaflow advert.
Oh, the toilet system.
Yeah, that's right. They've changed the advert. It's more sophisticated now with legs in it.
Now he's back in his home on the land of Shire, that brave little hobbit whom we all admire. Just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, a puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins.
From York, Utah.
What a travesty that was of a man's life's work there by Leonard Nimoy. A really confusing album, that, actually, if you get this album. I forgot what it's called. It's on Revolver. He does covers of songs by Johnny Cash, Kenny Rogers, Tim Rose, Bing Crosby, and also weird kind of science fiction stories. And if you didn't know who was singing it, you'd just think it was an album just put together by a madman.
But it's not. It's by the director of Three Men and a Baby. I wonder if the women on that chorus put that on their CV.
I don't know.
On the Bilbo Baggins. A bit rich, him having a go at Bilbo Baggins for being 3 foot tall. He was a hobbit.
I know.
So going, I'm Leonard Nimoy.
I'm six foot tall.
He's only 3 foot tall.
How do you feel about
that?
We've got our next bad impression on the line, and it is Francis from York. Hello.
Hello, Chuck.
That isn't Francis from York. That's that woman from Coronation Street.
Yes, that's me, Phyllis Chuck.
That's great. Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, thanks, Francis. We'll call you back there.
Thanks very much. That was very good. We're hoping for that one.
Talking of phones, Rich, you've been having problems with mice in your flat, haven't you?
I have. As you know, I'm a vegetarian, but my flat has become infested with these three mice. Infested. And as a vegetarian, I can't condone the selfish murder of these small animals, but then again, having dirty small creatures scurrying over my food and bed is a bit disgusting.
Right.
It's one of the great dilemmas of modern life for the sensitive, liberal, and a bit sort of nervous and squeamish man.
More important issues for you to worry about than whether you should kill three mice. I mean, what about the homeless?
Oh, well, I don't think we should kill them, Stu. They're not doing any real harm.
Okay.
Although if a homeless person was scurrying around my kitchen, stealing my cheese and going to the toilet all over my work surface, I might consider putting down some kind of humane trap,
I suppose.
But until that day, live and let live. But it'd be okay if the mice were dead, but if I hadn't actually killed them. So I didn't have their blood like on my conscience, you know what I mean? So imagine my delight when on Tuesday it seemed my wishes were answered. you mice! Stop eating my food! You know very well you're just taking advantage of my misguided middle-class liberalism. If only some kind of metaphysical conceit could take from me the responsibility for your deaths. I wonder who that could be. Blimey! It's the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
That's right, Rich. You may know me by my gaily coloured cloak. And I can get rid of your three mice, no worries, with my magic pipe.
Won't I still be to blame for their fate?
No, 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 Rich. Legally and morally, the minute I begin to play, the mice become my responsibility. So if they, say, were to be horribly killed, I would be at fault, not you.
Hmm, yes, I see.
But I must be well rewarded for my sacrifice, Rich. I require a bag of gold.
Will you take a cheque, Pied Piper?
Yes, of course. Let the mouse holocaust commence.
And as the piper played, the innocent mice danced merrily down King's Avenue onto the South Circular Road and under the wheels of a 137A bus.
Hooray! The mice are dead and I'm not to blame! Hooray! How sad.
So, Rich, what you're saying, right, is the Pied Piper of Hamelin came all the way from 13th century German fiction to Clapham reality in January 1995 to rid you of your three mice, yeah? That was nice of him, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes, it was, yeah.
And the two other members of the South London Vegetarian Club believed that, did they? How convenient that was for you.
Well, not entirely, Stu, for on the very next day... Oh, hello again, Pied Piper. What's up?
That bloody cheque you gave me, Arsene, bounced, didn't it?
Hey, that's not my fault. You didn't ask to see my cheque card. Ugh. And anyway, a bag of gold isn't legal tender in 20th century England. Oh. Don't you even know that yet?
Damn your eyes! God, this sort of thing is always happening to me.
Check on, Pied Piper. You am a twat.
Well, that's what you think, Herring. I can do more with my pipe than enchant a mouse.
Yeah, yeah, go on then. Steal away all the children in King's Avenue. I don't care. And this time, make sure you wait for any lame children. It isn't the 13th century anymore, and there must be proper wheelchair access to whichever mystical land you lead them off to.
Oh, no, Rich. My revenge is sweeter.
Hey? Come here. No. Oh, I know, but what are you doing?
That sounded terrible, Rich, that did.
It was terrible, Stu. Now every time I make a smell, the pipe plays and enchanted mice try to get into my trousers.
I think that Neil Tennant from the Pet Shop Boys might be interested in buying that pipe off you, Rich.
Oh, yeah?
He collects unusual musical instruments.
Yeah, I've heard of that, actually. Yeah.
Are you sure the Pied Piper came to your house, though, Rich?
Yes.
Because your flatmate, right, Andrew Mallet, he told me there was no Pied Piper at all, right? Yeah. All that happened was that you trapped the mice under your spice rack with a piece of board, threw cumin in their eyes, waited until they'd nearly starved to death, and then got him to hit them over the heads with a rock, huh?
No, it was the Pied Piper done.
Yeah, you know, you're lucky, right, Rich, you are, that Charles Dickens isn't around to witness your life today, because he'd certainly base a character on you, because your selfish hypocrisy would prove too much for Dickens' sharp social satire to resist, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to drive my car. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go real far.
This is Guided by Voices, who are some elderly American school teachers with a four-track. This is from the re-released album Propeller. It's called Quality of Armour.
Good to see a song about the quality of armour. It's a very important thing ignored by songwriters for too long, I'd say.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I'm going to drive my car. Oh yeah, I'm going to
provided by Voices on 1FM. I'm supposed to mention Suzanne, Natalie, Sarah, Hayley, Faye and Jane, who are some girls to whom my mum's been using me as an example of why you should work hard at college for some reason.
New star signs. If your birthday falls between April the 7th and 21st, you are a hand. People with the hand star sign swing unpredictably between suffocating affection and disdain for all living creatures. Your birthstone is a stone. Fellow hands include TV's Keith Allen and curly-haired child genius James Harries.
Of course, we're looking at Interview with a Vampire, this week's show. It's already been an enormous success in America, so much so that a sequel is being filmed as we speak, and we're very lucky to have a clip from that sequel, the film called The Second Interview with a Vampire.
Yes, thank you for coming in again, Mr. Dracula. Right. We were very impressed with your first interview for the job, but there are just a couple of other things we'd like to ask you.
Right.
Now, do you have a clean driving licence?
Yeah, 4 years, no problems.
Right. And would you mind working away from home?
No, not at all.
There's a lot of work at night, obviously, in the job.
Fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
If you met a virgin, how long would you take before you bit her in the neck?
I would do it straight away, as soon as I could.
Straight away.
To get it out of the way.
No,
be in there.
Right, straight in. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, well, have you got any questions you'd like to ask us?
Yeah, I have one thing. Is it, for this, is it cash, or is it, like, paid to my account monthly?
Well, we pay it into your bank account.
Okay, that's all I wanted to ask.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We've got a couple of other people to see, but
you'll get in touch with me, will you?
We'll get back to you, Greg.
Right,
yeah,
thanks.
Definitely.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for coming in again. Goodbye.
I'm not really sure about him.
I'm not.
No.
Too smug.
Yes. Right, well, we're back, and we've got another guest here. It's Philip Bourne, who you're trying to revitalise an old sport that's not so popular anymore. What's this all about?
That's right, yes. Well, I'm actually the chairman of the National Council for Badminton.
Right.
And I'm here tonight on your programme to spread the message about badminton, that it's not square or fuddy-duddy. It's good.
Right, okay.
How are you going to do that, then?
Well, it's had a lot of bad press, but we at the National Council for Badminton have made it our mission to achieve what's been done with snooker and darts, and
so
let people see the mass.
I believe you've got a promotional package.
Yes,
that you've prepared.
I've prepared this promotional package.
I don't want to play badminton. It's not a very good sport.
You're wrong. It is actually quite a good sport, and here's why.
Why badminton is quite good. Sponsored by Panda Pops and Ginster Pies.
1. Badminton is not very competitive.
2. In Henry VIII's time, badminton was Britain's third most popular sport.
3. Badminton is reasonably good exercise.
4. Badminton is not girly, but girls can play badminton as well as men.
5. Badminton is better than a lot of other sports that are more popular.
6. Badminton is the only game in the world to use a shuttlecock.
See? I told you badminton was quite good, didn't I?
Yes, I was wrong. Badminton is quite good after all. Let's go and play a game now.
Great!
After a game of badminton, why not enjoy a cool Panda Pop drink and one of the pasties or pies from the Ginster's Pie range? A winning combination. As consumed by Philip Bourne and the British National Badminton Team.
Keep those bad impressions coming in on 0713060222. This is The News with Lucy Williams.